Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-Powered Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
It's always a privilege to air previous shows with my husband and mentor, Darren Carmack. We are going to be talking about some of our favorite scriptures from Isaiah, including Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. I hope that they will not only bless you, but motivate you to believe what they promise, and believe that they will be manifested as you obey them. God give you a spirit of revelation knowledge as you listen to the following program. And today I thought it would be really a wonderful thing to take some of the scripture from Isaiah where we've been reading and actually read the scriptures to let our listeners know that He is primarily a God of love. God is love. He makes up all the components of love. And we want you to know that today, that your God whom you serve really loves you.
Well, I'll tell you, we are going into the book of Isaiah today, and it is such a wonderful book of warnings, but also a book of comfort. And I really love it. I like this one out of Isaiah 14:30, and those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. And that is so cool. I mean, that's really talking about the down and outers. They're going to be taken care of. Then I will set the keys of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. And I will drive him like a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house.
Now, we talked about this in Isaiah 22. This was not only for Eliakim, the son of the priest, who became the chief over all the storehouse in Jerusalem. He kept the key for all of the delicacies, all the wheat, all the food the people ate, all of the things that were important, the oil, the wine. This was for Eliakim, that God prophesied that he held a key that no one could shut, and no one could, and if he opened, no one could shut. If he shut, no one could open. But it was also prophetic about Jesus in Revelation 3:7, Darren. It talks about Jesus as the one who opens and no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. So this has a double meaning, like so many scriptures in the Word of God. Then Isaiah, as we read these scriptures today, we want you to, and if you are at a place where you're not driving a car or something, we don't advise this if you're driving a car. But if you're at a place where you can write down these references, when the enemy comes to you and tells you you're so worthless, that you're just worth nothing, that you're full of failures and mistakes, remember this, that God really loves you, and he's there to help you and bless you and elevate you and exalt you to a place where he has planned for you. In Isaiah 25, Darren, this is such a precious chapter, because in the middle of all the chaos surrounding Jerusalem at this time in Isaiah's life, here's a beautiful verse. For thou hast been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. It amounts to nothing. He's trying to tell us here that when those thoughts come into our minds, when those threats and those accusations come, you know what? They're worth nothing.
You know, I'm working on a big project, which is not unusual for me, but it's a project of faith. And the Lord spoke to me last night. In fact, I was up in the night a couple hours, and so I went into my office and I was reading. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you've got to fight those ideas and those thoughts that come as a diversion to get you off the track. Mm-hmm. You've got to fight that. And I'll tell you, folks, all of us have to do that. To stay on task, to be focused, we've got to fight those things that want to come into your mind and get you off the track and get you to worrying, or, you know, sometimes it isn't even worry. It's just gets you on a different focus.
That's right.
And I like what Mike Murdoch says. the way to destroy a man's vision is to give him another vision. And that is so true. You know, you can be an expert in everything and not end up getting anything done. You can have too many projects on your plate, and you have to make some priority decisions. But really, you have to decide, I'm not going to let anything get me off the track. I'm going to fight those other ideas and those other thoughts, and I'm going to stay focused. Mm-hmm. And I know there's one great inventor, I think it was Edison, he says, I just think about one thing all day long. I don't allow my mind to drift and get on other projects.
Wow.
I stay on task. And, of course, we all know what he invented, you know.
You know, it is important, Darren. There are so many times during the day, well, and especially in the mornings when I'm reading the Word. And those of you who read the Word in the morning, the first part of the day when you wake up, you know what distractions are like. Well, I got to get breakfast. Well, I got to eat something. Well, I got to get coffee. Well, I got to do a load of wash. Well, I got to let the dog out. Well, over and over and over again to keep you from being in the Word. And it's still... it's like every morning when I go to brush my teeth, it's still, I got to get up, I got to brush my teeth today. And it's still not only a challenge, but it's something that I got to do on a daily basis, make sure that I read that Bible the first part of the day. Because, Darren, I don't know what's going to happen during the day. The other week, we came home late, and here the line had sprung a leak in the ice maker, and we had water in the kitchen and water in the dining room, and it was a distraction. It was a real distraction. You know, you get all the towels you can find and mop it up and call the insurance to see if there's anything there that you can depend on, which usually isn't, and then you bring up the carpet, you destroy the pad. It's just distraction, and we live in that kind of world, friend, but you can always be focused on God.
You know, though, I think when you take care of those distractions, you got to make sure that they're not carryover with them. Mm. Take care of it and lay it down and go on.
That's true.
Mean, think about something else instead
That's
of
right.
struggling with that.
Yes.
And Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee.
Love that verse.
Isaiah 27:2, a vineyard of wine delights, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone damage it. I guard it night and day. I have no wrath for my vineyard.
Now, here's a love story about a father who loves his children. He sings to us. He delights in us. The Lord is our keeper. Isaiah 120 or Psalm 121 tells us that the Lord is our keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone damage it. I guard it night and day. Remember, God does not sleep. And that's another verse in Psalm 121 that tells us that the Lord doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. So he's on guard all day long, all night long for us. Thank you, Lord.
If you want to get in trouble with a gardener, you walk through the garden and damage things. They don't like that.
No, I guess not.
They really don't like that. They really guard that.
Whoa.
But Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and trust in your strength, but you were not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. We will trust in the strength of man.
Now, here's where you reap what you sow. When you trust in the legal system, you trust in the doctors, you trust in the government, you trust in, a lot of people are living off the government. You trust in the government, you're going to live by the government. You trust in God, he's going to give you strength, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to bring you salvation. Here's where the people trusted in horses. They fled to Egypt when the times were tough instead of trusting in God. And Darren, they went into captivity. There is no good for someone who doesn't trust in God, who calls himself a believer. So here is a verse where when you trust in God, he's going to bless you on every side.
Mm. Well, it said, and you shall be the stability of your times, the wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge.
Praise God.
Next verse, Isaiah 33, verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Say to those who are anxious in heart, take courage, fear not, behold, your God will come. With vengeance, the recompense of God will come, and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy.
Mm.
Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them to his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes.
I love this in Isaiah 40. I love it. And the part of the Messiah... that so many people listen to every year. The recitative is, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy." Then that recitative goes into, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." And I had the privilege of singing that in college as the mezzo.
Yeah,
and
I learned that verse when I was in first grade, recitativa. Yeah, I remember that verse. What are you trying to do, make all of us ordinary people feel bad?
No, I'm just trying to say this is such a comforting verse, that he will feed and tend his flock and gather his lambs and carry them in his arms. He is the kind of father that no matter what our need, Darren, he's there to fulfill it. He's there to fill it. And then Jesus in the New Testament came in Matthew 11 and he says, you know, this has been fulfilled. This word that I spoke, that I read today in your hearing has been fulfilled. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. He actually was relating to them the Psalms and verses in Isaiah.
Well, I like Isaiah 40 verse 31 because it talks about eagles. And whenever I drive north of Denver, in fact, I've seen them right over Denver, which is amazing. But I get up into Wyoming, and I always look for eagles. It's a spiritual indicator to me that God's really there and doing something special. But it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with or sprout wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." Mm. One time I was driving down a country road, and I saw a couple of eagles on an old dead branch in a cottonwood tree. Well, I honked my horn, and they flapped their wings a little bit. They got out to the edge of the hill, and they found an updraft. And they just set their wings, and up they went, around and around and around. Mm. And, you know, a storm is nothing for an eagle. In fact, they found them up at 80,000, 90,000 feet. You know, the storm comes, they lock their wings and ride it out. They go right up above that storm and just let the winds down below just blow like crazy, and they're never in danger.
How can they do that when the air, there's no air up there? It's like if we didn't have pressurized compartments in the airplanes that flew at 35 and 40,000, we'd be all mush. How can an eagle do that?
I can tell you. Ask the Lord. He can tell you.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
A question I've had.
Really?
You know, how do they do it with the oxygen?
Oh,
but,
goodness.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they lock their wings in, and, you know, when they come to, they come to. I don't know. But airline pilots have seen them way, 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 way up there, and I do know that they go up that high.
Oh, that's amazing.
Here's Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land a fountain of water, that they may see, recognize, and consider the hand of the Lord has done this."
Oh. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? It's giving you hope, friend, as you listen today, that no matter what comes, I don't care if the Muslims would take over this country tomorrow. If you are in Christ Jesus today, he is going to take care of you. There's no need to be afraid. Here, the people were surrounded by the Assyrians. They were about to go into captivity. They were about to be stripped naked, taken in shackles, and taken into captivity because they disobeyed God. But if you don't disobey God, if you obey him, he will keep you. He will make the wilderness a pool of water, the dry land fountains of water. He will have his hand upon you, and nothing, nothing shall harm you. That's what Jesus says in Luke 10:19, Darren, that nothing shall harm you. None of the evil that the devil has prepared for God's people.
Well, yeah, but you know, now we have a chance to practice that.
Mm-hmm.
And before things get real crazy and real, real bad, you know, this is a time to really trust and see how much power do we have in our words, and do we really trust the Lord?
Yes.
And I think about parents of young children, for example, or parents of teenagers. And I didn't get this revelation until my kids were teens, but we stopped saying when they'd go out on a Friday night, and you knew they were driving a car, and they might drive too fast, and they had, not all of their friends were Christians, and you know, you start worrying and you start through the whole litany of don't do this, don't do that. Be sure you take care of yourself, wear your seatbelt. finally, we stopped doing that, and we just said, I bless you with safety, and I send the angels with you. Goodbye, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean you didn't give them all that cautionary stuff? No, we finally quit that because we realized that what they really needed to know was we were blessing them on the positive side with safety. We weren't expecting them to have a wreck or to get a ticket or all this kind of stuff. Well, then after our kids left home, we found out that, you know, they weren't always just lily white little angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son Monty, he put a bigger engine in his Mustang. And one time we found out later on, praise God, I didn't know it at the time, but he was going 135 miles an hour in that hopped up Mustang.
But the thing is, the covering, his spiritual covering, his
father
had prayed and had given it to the Lord, and Monty never had a horrible accident. He did not die. He did not get thrown into jail. He didn't live as a criminal. I mean, our children are taken care of when we surround them and cover them with the blood of Jesus. It's so true, Darren. We don't know what our kids do when they go out, but we know that God's going to even convict them. If they're doing something wrong, God will convict them. He sure did me when I was in college. I knew I was doing things
really
that were
bad.
Wrong. Well, no, I wasn't. But, you know, God really does convict, and he punishes and corrects those that he loves. He really does. So I'm thankful for his correcting rod. I really am. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's see, Psalm 43, 1 and 2. Do not, have we done this one?
Oh, no.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed, this is one of my favorite, and one of my mom's favorites, too. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will a flame burn you, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. I will not remember your sins. Praise God.
Now, I think this is such a fabulous scripture because I think often about your dad flying 20 missions over Germany during the Second War. They took off in England. They had to go across the English Channel. They went hundreds of miles in, dropped their bombs, and had to make it back. Well, if you have this scripture and you believe in the scripture, like here where it says, when you pass over the waters, I'll be with you.
Yes.
I mean, that's a very comforting scripture there for, you know, a young bride whose husband's out flying around the world in an airplane. And that some days they lost, I was listening the other day, they lost in one air raid, they lost 79 planes. That's
yes.
Just one day.
600 men, yes.
And that meant that there were a lot of men in those airplanes, you know, probably a crew of 5 or 8 or something like that.
Mm.
So they went down. If the planes went down, they went down.
Oh, praise
God. But in
God.
Isaiah 45:2, I will go before
you,
make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. And I'll give you the treasures of darkened, hidden wealth of secret places.
You love that verse.
I do.
I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places that only God knows, but he's going to reveal those to his children.
You know, that to me talks about gold and silver mines. It talks about gas and oil in the ground. And God knows where it is. He knows where he put it.
Or where he's even still
right.
Producing it. Yes,
and you can trust him and pray to him and ask him. And, you know, yesterday I taught here on the air by myself, by the way, Barbara. Remember, you were not here.
Well, I had a domestic day.
Yeah, I did.
Well, yes, yeah, day before yesterday, yes.
And I need to say this. If you're in a bind, God has an answer for everything. And if you're Christian and I'd ask you, where's your Bible? It's right here. Well, do you read your Bible? Oh, yes, I just love it. It's just so special. Well, I want to tell you, in that very special book is answers for everything. But you got to learn to use it. You got to get it open and find out what it says on the inside. Don't just scare it to church and then put it up behind the back seat of the car so you know where it is for next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to get into it.
That's right. We give each other Christmas presents, and this year I'm going to get you a new open Bible. Yours is really getting old.
My old Bible is open shot
the
Bible.
Leaves, the pages on your Bible are just getting really, really
pretty dog-eared.
Yeah, they are.
But you know, that Bible, I hate to give it up because I've spent many hours praying and a lot of tears on those pages.
Yes.
I mean, real tears when I've had to cry through things and I'd say, God, you're my only hope. And I've been there many times in a bind where God was my only answer. In fact, I remember one day I went by the Poudre River up by Fort Collins, and I spent all day on a picnic bench down by the river. And I was crying out to God. I started at about 9:30 in the morning. The sun was kind of over on the east. And in the afternoon, about 4:30 in the afternoon, it had gone clear across the sky. But I was crying out to God for answers. I said, I've got to have an answer here. I mean, you're my only hope. I can't turn. I don't know anybody that can help me out of this mess. Mm-hmm. And you know, God came through
A
marvelous, marvelous way.
Sometimes maybe not the way we had planned, but He does it for our very good. Because sometimes what we plan are for our demise. I mean, it's worse than what we thought. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has changed my mind or changed my plans several times, and that He did what He knew was best for me.
Well, that's when I got acquainted with Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And I said to God, now, I don't want anything that's real fancy. I don't have a theological degree here. I don't want the footnotes, the side notes. Give me scriptures that are real simple and to the point.
So
it took me
work.
To Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8.
Yeah.
It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. I said, well, I'm asking. It said, seek and you shall find. I'm out here seeking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I was pounding on that picnic bench saying, talk to me. Give me some answers. Well, you know, He came through, because in the next verse it says, everyone who asks receives. I said, I'm an everyone. Well, you know, when you get that desperate with God, I'll tell you, He begins to open the windows of heaven, and He will reach through, and He will save you.
That's right.
And I've been there so many times, and God has come through. Every time I got desperate, and I was knocking down the doors of heaven. I said, if you're in here, anybody listening, talk to me. Don't be silent. Talk to me in a way I can understand. And you know, when I was in public education, we had a thing called individualized learning. And I found as a teacher in school, there's some children learn through auditory things they learn by what they hear. Other children learn visually by what they read. Other children learn through much pain. You have to inflict some pain on them to get them to learn. Some of them learn through fear. Some of them learn through threat. Some learn through love. Mm-hmm. But I'd say to God, now listen, I don't have you and me mixed up. You're the teacher and I'm the student. Now teach me. You know how I learn. Send me a book. Send me a person. Send me somebody I respect. You know, every time He'd come through for me. Mm-hmm. Every time. Mm-hmm. And He would teach me and I could understand.
I think we need to be willing to accept a new plan, maybe. A new idea, maybe. Some people, Darren, are so stubborn and stiff-necked. They have one idea, and they're going to take that idea down into the ground. And they don't allow the Lord to work something new in their hearts. No, this is it. I'm going to live by this, and this is what I'm going to do. And Darren, it really gets them into hot water and a lot of trouble. But you went that day to that picnic table, and you said, Lord, anything. Lord, I'm asking you to break through here. You're going to be my breakthrough. And He did. He came through for you. And Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age, I shall be the same. And even to your graying years, I shall bear you. I have done it. I shall carry you. I shall bear you. I shall deliver you. Praise the Lord. I know a lot of senior citizens, Darren, their days are lived in fear instead of joy, that they're going to soon come to know the Lord and see Jesus face to face. Their years are spent in lots of fear and anxiety when we should be the most joyful. Senior citizens should be the most joyful of all the people on this earth, because God promises here in Isaiah 46:4, He's going to deliver you and take care of you.
But see, in Isaiah 48:17, one of my favorites, I quote this one
it
often,
is.
But I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Hey, I'm about out of money. You got to teach me to profit here. Now, you say, well, Darren, you don't raise your voice to the Lord, do you? Yes, I do. And many times I've been in a throne room talking to the Lord, and sometimes I've been so rambunctious I went out and I said, God, did I insult you? Did I hurt your feelings? I mean, I was really aggressive. But you see, you've got to get aggressive with God. He wants you to. He says, come boldly and come often. I think He's saying, quit Mickey Mousing around and get serious about my word. And you know, I'd take His word to Him,
mm-hmm.
and He loves that.
Yes.
I would say, now look, You say right here in Isaiah 48:17 that you're the Lord my God, that you teach me to profit.
Mm-hmm.
Who leads you in the way that you should go?
If
only
you
had paid
attention to my word.
God, I blew it. I haven't been there very much.
Whoa, if only you had paid attention to my word.
Then it says, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
Mm.
And many times I have to admit, listen, I'm a little short here, because I have to be honest with you, Lord. You know and I know that I've not spent a whole lot of time with your word. But I'm here, I'm repenting, and I'm going to change. Now help me. I've got my tail in a crack, and I mean, it's like everything is coming against me. And And the bill collector's going to eat me, Lord, and I don't want him to eat me.
Okay, then when the Lord delivers him, is he going to forget the Lord one more time? Or is he going to be faithful to his vow? You know how important vows are to the Lord. And if they say, okay, Lord, if you're going to get my tail out of this crack this time, I'm going to serve you. Okay, have you said that? Those of you listening, have you said that to the Lord and have you kept your promise to him? He keeps his promise to you. Have you kept your promise to him? I hope you have.
Well, you know, one reason that old Bible that I have is so beat up, really. I've underlined it. I've highlighted it. I've many times the oil out of my hands have gone into those pages, and it's discolored. I love that old Bible because it's been my sword. I mean, there are times when I laid it out, and I said, look, God, you said it, and if you didn't mean it, you shouldn't have said it, because I'm the kind of guy that will come after you.
I'll tell you, Lord, though, Darren, I know that's really important for you, and I believe God really blesses you in that way. But praise and worship does so much in opening the heart of a loving God, to just begin to praise him for who he is. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. And for those strong type A's like you, you know, going boldly like that is probably really good. But for us who want to praise and worship, we can get to that throne room just as quickly.
You know,
there are different ways of doing it.
So,
really,
since
are.
Your name is Barbara, are you a type B?
Yeah, I'm a type B.
Well, you know, on tomorrow's broadcast, I do want to talk about praise and worship. I'm going to talk about...
On Monday,
I'm sorry. I'll talk about that. But, you know, I believe that we got to learn to praise and worship the Lord. And lately, I've had to apologize to the Lord. And I've had to say, listen, I haven't been much on praise and worship. I thought that was for the Fruit Loops and the Ding Dongs in the church. You know, that wanted to make a show, and they were up there dancing, waving their arms, and doing all this stuff. I am sorry I had that attitude. I was very judgmental. Mm-hmm. I've not raised my hands above my elbows. And I'm sorry, Lord, because
now
I'm
you're
realizing...
You're going to go to Praise and Worship 101 when you go to be with
the
Lord.
I know, but I'm learning. I said,
are you learning?
I asked the Lord, give me a revelation of praise and worship. You know something he did, mm-hmm. and now it's easy, and it's something I look forward to doing.
It's getting easy.
And I enjoy it. And I'm not afraid or reticent to hold up my hands in a meeting and say, thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to me, because he has been. And without him, I would have perished. Well, we'll see you on Monday, folks. We love you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.